The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Well, good morning. It is a wonderful day to see you at worship again this morning. I can't tell you how exciting it is to see everyone here and have everything, good weather, good crowd, good folks, everything's wonderful. And it's Baptism Sunday. I don't know if you knew that or not, but we're going to have baptism at the end of service. And as I started thinking about Baptism Sunday, I thought about this phrase and this statement that our lives are built on memories. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but let me go through some examples of what I mean by that. So my life was built on this is terrible, I know. I don't know if we're allowed to talk about this in church, but Inside Out, any Inside Out people? The movie, Pixar, Inside Out. She develops these things called core memories, and it shapes who she is as a person, right? And really, like, when you think about it, there's some deep... I'm not going to give Pixar, like, too much credit, like they're presenting the gospel, but there's some deep truth to that. Because, let me give you an example from my life. So when I was 7 years old, I was in a big auditorium and they had a concert and there was somebody who sang and somebody gave an invitation. And the invitation at the end of the singing said this: Christ died on the cross for your sins. And if you want to be forgiven of your sins, you need to come down and let somebody pray with you. That core memory that stuck in my head, I could not tell you what song they sang, the people who were up there singing. I don't know what the group was. I don't know who the person was who made that invitation. But I remember in my mind at that point something clicked. And that core memory has now built upon it different things in my life. There's another core memory when I was a sophomore in high school. I was sitting, a little bit different. So there's one pew here, another pew there, another pew there. And so I was sitting somewhere, right about here. And at that moment, I don't remember, I know who the preacher was because it was my dad. It was kind of an easy thing, can't forget that. But I have no clue what dad said. He could have said anything in his sermon. I have no clue what his sermon was about that day. But I remember sitting there and realizing, man, my life has to be given and dedicated to serving God as my profession. That's when the term in churches, that's when I surrendered in the ministry. That's when I knew that God was calling me to take that path for my life. And so because of that, different things in my life have shaped off of that core memory. There was another core memory where I was on a volleyball court and we were short one girl. And this cute little black-headed girl came up to me and started making fun of me because I couldn't get any other girls to come play on my volleyball team. And that's a core memory because that cute little black-headed girl that came up and said that to me, they became my wife one day. There was another core memory where I was in. I came home from football practice one day and all of a sudden there was this little thing sitting in our bathroom. Kelsey said, hey, did you notice that thing by the sink? And I said, yeah, I don't know what it is. And she goes, it's a pregnancy test. Oh, man. Like, I'll never forget that day. That was a core memory that was going to be stuck in my head forever because on top of that, things in my life built around it. I had other core memories, too. Some of them not great. I had a youth pastor one time when I was in high school. I was getting ready to go in my senior year of high school. And he came to me and he said, hey, listen, I know you like to do things in church, but just stop. Okay. Well, I like doing things in church. He said, yeah, but you're the preacher's kid. You do everything. People just expect it of you. Just stop doing things. So I got to be honest with you. For a long time, from my junior and senior year in high school, up until probably in my 20s, late 20s, I did things differently because of what that youth pastor said to me. I didn't volunteer to do as much. I stopped doing things. Even as a minister, I held back from things in my life because my thought, my fear was, people are going to think I'm doing this just because of who I am. And so we all have these core memories that shape and we build on top of them. And so this morning what we're going to talk about is monumental memories. For the five of y'all who are being baptized this morning, man, what a monumental memory today is. Today is going to be etched in your brain forever, hopefully, as a day when you gave yourself and dedicated your life to following Christ as an outward symbol of the inside decision you've already made. In Isaiah, it says this, Isaiah 28:16, therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I'm placing a foundation in Jerusalem, a firm and tested stone. It is a precious cornerstone that is safe to build on. Whoever believes in it need never be shaken. Again, on our Wednesday night Bible study, we went over this verse and it stayed in my head all week. Therefore, since we have received an unshakable kingdom, let us be filled with gratitude and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. What these verses tell me is that there are memories in you and I's life that we need to make into monuments. We need to build our life on certain memories that you and I have in our life. Memories that are revolving around our faith and our love for Jesus Christ are memories that we need to take and we need to build monuments on them. Now, what's a monument do? A monument is given to serve the purpose of looking back and remembering different things and then strengthening moving forward, right? That's what a monument does. It gives us the mentality to look back at something, but then also move on from that into a brighter future. And so for you and I this morning, there are some memories that you and I need to make into monuments. It's not just for those people who are being baptized today, though. That's the first blank in your notes. Some memories need to be monuments. It's not just for those folks that are being baptized this morning. It's for you and I. How many of you thought when you came to church today that you were going to have a monumental day? A day when your life would never be the same because of something that happened, and ever since that point, everything else about your life was going to be changed. Confessing moment, I did not. My alarm clock went off this morning. I had one kid in bed with his feet in my ribs. And I thought, nope, 5 more minutes, God. not ready to get up just yet. And I had another, my son, I was changing his clothes, and he was crying and pitching a fit about something, and he was kicking and everything like that. I said, Thomas, what's wrong? He goes, I just don't want to go to church. I said, man, there's some days I don't want to go to church. I get it. And if I'm going to be completely honest with you, today I didn't wake up and run out of the house like, man, Rocky, today is going to be monumental. God's going to do remarkable things. He's going to blow the doors off this place. God is going to do something amazing. That wasn't the first thought that was in my head today. But then as I started thinking about this, and as I started praying through, and I started really worshiping God this morning, this clicked in my head. Why isn't every single time I walk through the doors of that church, that expectation in my mind? See, it's not just for the folks who are here to get baptized this morning. You may be here because somebody invited you. You may be here because it's Sunday. You may be here because you forgot where you were going and just ended up at church. I don't know why you're here. But the truth is, God has sent you and brought you here because He wants today to be a monumental day in your life. Your life will not be the same because of what you experienced today. So let's look at some of the reasons that we build these monumental moments and what they stand for. Sometimes in Scripture, in our lives, we see monuments can be built, monuments are special memories reminding us of whose we are. When you go to Genesis chapter 8, you find the story of Jacob. And Jacob takes a nap by a stream one night, and he has this dream. And in this dream, angels are ascending and descending from heaven to earth. And in this dream, God comes to him and promises Jacob, Jacob, listen, you're going to be the father of a multitude of nations, and you're going to bless the entire earth, and continues the promise from Abraham, from Isaac, on to Jacob. And then when Jacob wakes up from his dream, this is what Scripture says. It's in Genesis. In your notes, you've got 15 through 20 on the screen. It starts in verse 20. It says this. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey that I'm taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God and this stone that I've set up as a pillar will be God's house. And for all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Guys, why do you celebrate anniversaries? Because you're better, right? Because happy wife, happy life. Like, well, all right. Anybody ever heard of a Got You Day? I've got some friends in Tennessee, and they adopted 3 kids. They weren't able to have kids of their own. And so they adopted 3 kids, and every year they celebrate their birthday, but they have a special celebration for Got You Day. It's when they legally adopted these kids. Now, the reason why do we celebrate these things, why do we have these different things in our life, is because at that moment, a relationship changed. Why do we celebrate the 4th of July? Because the relationship changed. We were no longer a country that was under somebody else, but at that day, we celebrate as a country our independence. Our relationship changed. I celebrate my anniversary with Kelsey, not because if I don't, she's going to get mad at me. She might. But I celebrate my anniversary with Kelsey because at that day, that relationship changed. I'm now hers and she's now mine. Until we die, that relationship has changed. We celebrate Got You Day. We celebrate birthdays because at that moment, that relationship changed. You have entered into a new covenant relationship. And so there are times in our life where we need to go back and we need to memorize and memorialize days to remind us of whose we are. Now, that's a strange phrase, and I don't know if that's exactly proper English, but you need to remind yourself that you are God's child. You need to remind yourself of that, because there are going to be days where, guess what, you don't feel it. It doesn't seem like that. The things just aren't as good as they used to be. Does that mean it's not the truth? No. There are days it doesn't feel like it did. That cute little black-headed girl on the volleyball court is angry sometimes. She gets mad at me for stuff I do. I don't do things the same way I did when I was 23 years old or whatever it was. And so, man, there are days where it doesn't feel like, oh, happy lovey-dovey. There are days that marriage is tough and it's difficult, but guess what? I remind myself, hey, I made a commitment. I'm hers and she's mine. And so you and I need to memorialize days in our life when we remember whose we are, the relationship that we now have with God. Jacob's faith at this moment in Scripture is no longer his dad's faith or his grandpa's faith. At this moment, Jacob makes a decision and a commitment. God, if you do this for me, you're my God and I'm yours. And that relationship changes. This morning, maybe you've had faith or you've experienced somebody else's faith, but it's never been your faith. It's been your grandma's faith or your aunt's faith or your uncle's faith or somebody else's faith. And this morning, what you need to have here is this. God sent his son to die on a cross for you to have a relationship with him so that you could be adopted into his family, and you need to celebrate, or you need to remember, or you need to be reminded, or you need to hear for the very first time, God's desire for you is that you would be his child. So there are days that we need to set aside to remind us of whose we are. Moments are memories reminding us of what God has done. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, Samuel sets up a stone called an Ebenezer. I don't know if you guys have ever heard that song, "Here I Raise My..." An Ebenezer is a memorial stone. It's a stone that is set up, and the intention is this. It's to remind people of what God has done. It says, "Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin. He named it Ebenezer, saying, 'Thus far the Lord has helped us.'" Over in Joshua, you find a story where the nation of Israel is out of the wilderness and they're getting ready to enter the land. And the one thing standing between them and the land that God has promised them is the Jordan River. And they don't understand. Now listen, they've already crossed the Red Sea. I'm not a geographical guy, but I'm pretty sure seas are bigger than rivers. Is that accurate? Okay. All right. They've already crossed the Red Sea, but somehow when they get to the river, they start to panic and they can't figure out how in the world they're going to cross this river to get over the other side. And God says, "Hey, look, just what I did at the Red Sea, I'm going to do again. I'm going to part the river and you're going to cross on dry land." And so they cross on dry land. And as they cross on dry land, Joshua instructs 12 men to pick up rocks. And when they get on the other side, they set these rocks up, and it's found in Joshua chapter 4. Verses 6 and 7 says this: "We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future generations, your children will ask, 'What do these stones mean?' Then you can tell them, 'They remind us that they remind us the Jordan River stopped flowing and the Ark of the Lord's covenant, went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever.'" Sometimes you need reminders of what God's done in your life. Why? Because anybody ever felt like God's not doing anything in your life? Man, you watch and listen. That's why fellowship, that's why Wednesday night Bible study, that's why Sunday school and connect groups, our Sunday school groups are so important, is because we watch God do other things in other people's lives, and it's encouraging, it's refreshing. But even here, it just felt dry. Like, you're watching God do all kinds of other stuff in other people's lives, and it's exciting because you're excited for them. But really, you just kind of feel dry. God's just not doing what he used to do. And you start to have these moments where you don't question your faith, because that's a big thing. We don't use that word in church. But we start to kind of just doubt a little bit. And when we start to ask questions like, "God, why aren't you doing anything?" And then that doubt comes and it goes a little bit further and it creeps a little further. And it's not, "God, why aren't you doing anything?" It's, "God, will you ever do anything?" And before you long, you've forgotten everything that God has done to get you to where you are now. Again, the nation of Israel, man, they crossed the Red Sea. Big old thing. dry land. They walked through. Egypt didn't walk through. Now they get to this little Jordan River, and all of a sudden they start to forget all the things that God has done. And so Joshua says, listen, on this time when you get to the other side, you're going to set up a memorial. You're going to memorize this day. It's going to be told to your children everything that God's done. Why? So that in the days when you feel like God's not doing anything, in the days that you feel like God's not working in your life, you're not seeing Him, you're not walking with Him the way you did at one point in time, you can look back on that day and say, ah, yeah, it is. This morning, we're going to celebrate baptism, and I love to express baptism like this. What is this? It's a wedding ring, right? This is my second one. The first one got lost in a lake someplace. This one's a little tighter because of that. Does this make me married? No. Anybody who's ever seen any Adam Sandler movie knows this doesn't make you married. This is just a symbol, right? But it's also a reminder to me. There are times where I fidget. I'm a fidgeter, and I do this a lot. But one of the things that it's doing is it's reminding me of all that God's done in my life. And it's reminding me of the journey it took to get Kelsey and I to where we were married. It's reminding me of my kids at home. It's reminding me of the calling that God's got on my life. And so this is a reminder that stands on my finger always as a reminder of all the things that God's done in my life. With this morning, the folks who are getting baptized, they get certificates and they get a shirt. It's not because we're hip and it's not because we're cool. Because trust me, if you look at me, you know I'm not hip or cool. It's because we want them to have a physical reminder of everything that God's done to get them to this point. And so in days in the future and in times in the future, when they question, when their faith seems to be shaking, they can stand on something and say, no, I know God's done something in my life because I remember this. Church, I wonder what memories you and I have clung to. What things we are holding on to. When was the last time that you set up a monument reminding yourself of what God has done? Another type of thing. Moments are memories reminding us of where we've been. You ever, I like to play this game sometimes at night when I can't sleep. I try to think of every house I've ever lived in. And I try to think of the floor plan of every house I've ever lived in. You do that too? Okay, good. I'm not crazy. I thought I was crazy for a second. But I try to think, okay, if I would have walked in the doors here, what would have been to my right? What would have been to my left? Where would this have been? And I walk through every house, and I try to remember every house I've ever lived in. I wonder how many of us do that spiritually. How many of us ever take toll spiritually and remember where we've been spiritually? But where we are now. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, it says this: 6 days you shall labor from all your work, but on the seventh day it is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do anything, neither work, nor neither you, nor your sons, nor your daughters, nor your male or your female servants, nor your ox, or your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and your female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Man, the nation of Israel set up a whole day just to memorialize where they were. That's why, and I know it seems silly, and we've kind of lost this concept of the Sabbath and different things like that. But man, that's why it's important. One day out of the week, God says, listen, one day out of the week, I need you to set aside to rest and to reflect on where you've been and where you are now. It's so important that God doesn't say, listen, this is like a monthly thing you do. If you can put it in your calendar and just check in once a month how you're doing spiritually. Every week, God tells us that we need to set aside time every week to reflect on where we've been. That's how important it is. Why? Because in that you find strength, you find encouragement, you find dedication, you find commitment, you find challenge, you find those different things. That's why coming to church is vitally important. Listen, it's not because of me, it's not because of Rocky, it's not because of who's next to you. Church is vitally important because it is intentionally you setting aside a moment in time to reflect and say, God, where have I been? God, man, thank you for what you brought me through. How many of you guys have been through anything rough in your entire life? Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Next week's sermon online. How many of y'all have been through something tough in your life?
Yes.
Everybody has. Man, this is a moment when you get to come in here and you get to reflect and say, God, I have no clue how I got through that. And then you realize, God, it was you that brought me through that. And to commemorate and memorialize in your mind, hey, you are no longer where you used to be. Every single week, the nation of Israel was supposed to sit down and to remember they were slaves in Egypt. They remember how they got out of that slavery in Egypt. They remember all the things that God did to get them to where they were. Every single week, they were supposed to set aside and remember that. That's how important it is. It's good and it's important to look back on memories, to remind ourselves of our standing with God, to see everything that God's done and just see just how far we've come. Man, I look at some of you all and I didn't ask him for permission. I've got a friend in service today. And this friend came to me a couple months ago and he said, John, he said, my goal is to be at church every single Sunday. You know what? He's here this morning. Every Saturday, and sometimes it's Saturday night at 11:30, sometimes it's Sunday morning at 12:30, sometimes it's Sunday morning at 8:45. But I text him, I say, hey man, I'm looking forward to seeing you at church this morning. He always texts back, I'm on my way. Pumped to be there. Can't wait. Man, when I look at that, you know what I see? I see growth and I see somebody who has taken steps of faith and said, listen, I am here today. I may not be where I want to be and I may not be where I want to be in the end game, but I know I'm not where I was. And I'm so thankful for where I am today. It is vitally important, church, that we take stock and realize exactly where we've come from and just how far God's done, what God's done in your life so far. There's a but that comes with that. As exciting as those things are, we can't stay stuck in memories. Y'all ever been stuck in a memory? I'm watching March Madness. I don't know if any of you all are. It's amazing. I've never understood this. Maybe it's because I was not a good athlete. I don't know. I take that back. You are looking at the record holder at Keystone Heights High School for the longest pass.
Wow. You thank Jesus.
I don't remember the play that was called. I think it was a botched play, and I just happened to run down the field, and the guy threw it to me. Honestly, is what I think what happened. And I don't know if that was still the case. But I also have to tell you in that I was a tight end. We were in a hybrid wing T or a split wing T offense, and we never threw the ball. So to have that accomplishment wasn't really that big of a deal. But it's amazing to me how I hear people recount stories, and I coached football for several years, and these guys would sit in the locker room, and they would tell stories vividly recalling details of games from like 18 years ago. And I'm like, man, I remember what I had for breakfast yesterday. How do you do that? Well, because those memories were etched in. And some of them weren't monumental, but then sometimes I'd hear it, and I'd hear this little bit of stuck in their voice. If only we could go back to the days when we did this. If only we'd go back to the good old days when it was this, and it was Smash Mouth, and it was that. And there was this mentality that somehow the good old days were all that life had to offer. Can I challenge you and encourage you, church, not to get stuck in memories? We need to move on from memories of where we've been. And I know we just talked about how we need to celebrate and memorialize memories of where we've been, but we also can't get stuck in them and we have to move on from them. In Genesis chapter 12, you find this passage where Abram is on his sojourning journey. And when we took our Steps of Faith with Abram series, we went over this verse. Genesis chapter 12, verses 8, it says, from there he went down toward the hills east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent. With Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, there he built an altar to the Lord, and he called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out, and he continued toward Negev. When I read that passage as we were going over the series, and as I read that passage this week, man, it shook me a little bit. Abram was in the place God promised him. This is your land. God just told him, hey Abram, you and your descendants are going to live in this land forever. This is yours. And so Abram builds a monument, and he remembers that day. But then the very next verse, verse number nine, it says Abram got up and he continued. Why? You're there, man. You're where you want to be. Stop. Pitch your tent. Build your house. Do what you're supposed to do. God's already told you this is where you're supposed to be. But see, God wasn't done with Abram's journey yet. And if Abram would have stayed stuck in that memory, in that moment, in that time when God said, hey, Abram, this is going to be your land, Abram never would have gone to Egypt. He never would have lied to Pharaoh. He never would have stretched his faith. He never would have grown as a person, as a people, as nations, as wealthy, as all those things as he did, so that when he came back, he was able to sustain the land, to grow the land, to do what God had promised him to do in that moment. If Abram wouldn't have gone to Egypt, that moment of him coming back and being who God needed him to be would not have been possible. Church, I wonder how many of us are stuck in moments and there's something great on the other side of those moments because we feel like this is where we're comfortable, because we feel like this is where God wants us. We're too scared to move into the moment that's ahead of us. We're too scared to go and say, hey, listen, things could be difficult over there. I'd rather just stay right here. I'd rather stay stuck in the memory of what Morningsport Baptist Church used to be back in 1986. Maybe some of y'all remember that. I'd rather stay with Morningsport Baptist Church used to be in 2025. Hey, listen, man, I'm going to share a little secret for everybody here. This is the absolute best church in all of Caddo Parish. And I will go to words with anybody who begs to differ. Because you don't go to blows anymore. That's not Christian. So, but man, this is a great church. But listen, if I believe that this is the absolute best that God has for this church, I'm wasting my breath. If you believe that our church has reached the absolute best that God can do with it, man, we're pointlessly coming to service. We're pointlessly coming here. Why? Because this isn't the best that God has for us. God has a journey that he wants to take us through that sometimes is difficult, that sometimes is rocky. But man, if we continue to take it and we continue to journey with him, it's going to strengthen and improve in our faith, and we're going to come back to a monument. We're going to come back to a day and we're going to say, God, you did so much from there to here. Wow! And it strengthens your faith and it encourages you to continue to walk the life that God has called you and I to live. We can't stay stuck in moments. We can't just continue to focus on what God has done. Another reason we can't look back on memories is because they'll distract us. This passage comes from 1 Kings chapter 19. In 1 Kings chapter 19, you find the story of Elijah and Elisha. Elijah comes to him and he says, so when Elijah went to and found Elisha, the son of Saphat, plowing the field, there were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elijah was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak on his across his shoulders and then walked away. And Elijah left his ox standing there and ran after Elijah and said to him, first let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, then I will go with you. Elijah replied, go back, but think about what you have done. But think about what I've done to you. So Elijah returned to his oxen, and he slaughtered them, and he used the wood from the plow to build a fire and roast their flesh. Y'all ever find the past distract you? You start to focus on the past. You start to focus on different things from way back then, and you start to think about that, and all of a sudden you get distracted because you feel like you can always go back. Anybody ever embarked on a new job? You took a new job someplace and you left the old job? I always try to leave jobs with like good relationships just in case one day I have to go back. Anybody ever had that experience of having to go back to the same job you left one time? But you leave and you try to leave with good relations, but then all of a sudden you go to this new job and you're there and it's exciting and it's wonderful, and all of a sudden it's not exciting and it's not as wonderful, and all of a sudden you start to go back in your mind and you say, I wonder if I could go back. I wonder, you know, that job, I was friendly with them when they left. They always, you know, had that good relationship. And I just wonder. And as long as that's still there, you know what you're doing. You're letting yourself be distracted from where God wants to take you by always focusing on what could be in your past. Elijah, when he gets this call, when he gets this job to become a new prophet, the new prophet of God, which is what the significance of the cloak throwing over his shoulder is, he burns his ox. He burns his plow, and he, eventually you see he burns his ox. Why? He said, man, listen, I'm not going to have my fallback plan. I'm not going to have I could always go back to. I'm setting out on this path. I'm setting out on this journey. And when I do that, I'm moving forward in this distraction-free from all the things that could be there. Church, I wonder how many of us allow memories to distract us. What memory today do you need to burn? It's distracting you. It's holding you back from the job that God's called you to do because you're always in your head going back. And listen, this could be things like, I've had conversations with people, and I know time's getting away, but I've had conversations with people where they're like, yeah, but you don't understand what I did when I was 17 years old. You're right, I don't. But you know what that does? That's a distraction. That's Satan telling you that there's something in your life that God can't use you because of this. Some of us need to burn those distractions and say, God, you knew my past. God, you knew the sinner I was when you died on the cross for me, and you forgave all my sins. And so what I did at 17, if I could tell y'all some of the stuff I did at 17, I don't know that you'd let me be your pastor. But you know what I know? If I let my life be defined by what I did when I was 17 years old, I probably wouldn't be your pastor. But I know that God forgave that sin, and I know that I've asked for forgiveness from the people that I've wronged as best I can, and I've done everything I can to move forward, but we can't let our past distract us. Now there's another passage that ends that passage in 1 Kings, and at the very end of it, he says this: he passed around the meat to the townspeople, and they all ate. And then he went with Elijah as his assistant. See, there are new memories that you and I need to make into monuments. There are new memories out there waiting. When I read that, it seems so simple, it seems so insignificant. Why does it matter that at the end of his time at his farm, Elijah threw a barbecue and fed his friends? Because I started thinking more about it, and what this means for Elijah is the ending of some memories. I bet there were some good days out in the field with Dad and those other 12 ox plowing the fields. I bet Elijah had calluses on his hands from working that plow. And I bet there were times where he would look back with fondness on that. And he knew that memory and those times spent on the farm were gone and were done. And so he burns his plow and he burns his wood and he sacrifices his ox and he gives the meat to other people. But in that, what he does is he creates a new monumental memory for those other people. Can you think about the people who watched this happen? The other 11 ox drivers, anyways, they're sitting back and they're watching a lot. What's this guy doing, man? He just wrecked his plow. He's taking the thing apart and setting it on fire. Now he's slaughtering his ox. Oh, that meat looks pretty good. Brother Brad, it looks like he's slathering that up good. That man knows how to cook. And all of a sudden, they're enjoying this barbecue, and in their mind, I guarantee that was a lasting memory the day Elijah walked off the farm, burnt his plow, gave them all ox to eat, and they all celebrated together the new step in his life. Church, I wonder what new memories await us that God's waiting to turn into monumental memories in our life. As long as we stay in the past, we'll never see the potential of what those future moments could look like. But that's what the gospel does to us. The gospel shows us that there are new memories that we need to make monumental. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, it says this: I thank Christ our Lord who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of the Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, whom I am the worst. For this reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example to those who believe in him and receive eternal life. Church, that's what the gospel does. The gospel says, listen, I know you've got a head full of old memories. Of times that you failed, of times that you weren't faithful, of times that you didn't live the life that you were supposed to live. But what God's desire is to take those and say, listen, those have been paid. The price for that has been paid on the cross. And now what I'm offering you is an opportunity to step into a new future and a new memory and to make monuments in the future that point other people to the grace and mercy and love of Christ. One of the things I think that we've always gotten wrong as a church and as Christians is this, is we believe we have to have our guards up. I've got to come in here. My shirt has to be tucked in just right. I have to have on the right shoes. I have to say the right words. I have to let you guys know that, listen, there's never a doubt or a fear or anything in my mind ever. And I have to be perfect. Right? I think one of the biggest things we can do as Christians today is let down those guards. Listen, man, I blew it. I messed up. I've messed up here. I messed up there. But I know that God's forgiven me of it. I'm asking you to forgive me of it so that we can move forward and so that we can find a new memory and a new monument to set up in the future and say, God, you got me through that. You forgave me for this. God, you did this in my life. Because what that does is other people who are watching you make that sacrifice, who are watching you be vulnerable with people, they look and they say, oh man, if God can do that for him, what could he do for me? If God can forgive the worst sinner of all, what could he do for me? And all of a sudden, a switch clicks in their mind, and they start to believe, and they start to have faith, and all of a sudden they come to you and they say, listen, I don't understand the way you live. I don't understand the hope you have. I don't understand this love you found. Can you help me understand it? And you get to say, absolutely, I can. It's because of the love of Jesus Christ that changed my life and transformed me forever, like Ms. Bonnie said during Children's Corner. He goes on in that verse, in verse number 17, and Paul ends this portion by saying this, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm reminded of that passage we read in Hebrews. In Hebrews it says this, therefore, since we are receiving an unshakable kingdom, let us be filled with gratitude and worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Church, this morning, I wonder how many of us need to set up some memorials in our mind to seal whose we are. To say, God, this is what you've done in my life, and God, I never want to forget it, and I never want to go back to who I used to be. I want to move on, and I want to move in a way that glorifies and honors you, and I want to praise you for what you've done. Listen, when we grasp a hold of everything that God's done, our worship services will never be the same. You want to be reminded of what God's done? Think about how sinful you used to be and what Christ did to put you where you are now. And then let Rocky come up and sing a song. You know what that's going to do? Man, that's going to enhance my worship. That's going to be phenomenal for me. I'm going to sit back and I'm going to say, God, you did all this and I don't deserve any of it. And my worship is going to be in reverence and awe, and it's going to be exactly what God wanted it to be. Because I'm reminded of the unshakable foundation I've been built on. This morning, I wonder how many of us need to set up some monuments, reminding ourselves of what God's done, of who we are. I wonder how many of us this morning, maybe you need to let some stuff go. Maybe you're letting past memories distract you. Maybe you're letting them cripple you because it was comfortable where you are and you want to stay where you are. You don't want to move into the future because the future is scary. And God, if I start to commit and I start to dedicate and I start to surrender my life to you, what's that going to look like? Church, I can't tell you exactly what it's going to look like. But I can promise you this. It's way better over there than it ever is where you are. If Abram would have stayed right there on that mountain, would have been incomplete. I wonder this morning if you need to let go of some memories. You have some things that are pulling you back, that are weighing you down, and they're keeping you from making new memories that God wants to turn into monuments of the faith and what He can do, so that you and I can live a life full of faith and love that attracts other people. And they say, man, I don't understand how you live the way you live, but I want what you got. During this time of invitation, I want you to do business with God. Maybe this morning you need to make a dedication. I'm going to set up a monument. I'm going to remember today because today God did this. Maybe this morning you need to burn some stuff. The altar's already here. You just got to come down and burn whatever memory is haunting you. Maybe this morning you need to just say, God, whatever my new memory is, I'm stepping into it. Father, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for these individuals. And Father, I thank you for this service. Lord, I pray that today be a monumental day. Not because of a service, but because of encounters with the living God who changes us from the inside out forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.